Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to the Least of These podcast. We reach out to those the world has forgotten. If you'd like to know more about us and how you can donate to help us fulfill our mission, go to hisloveministries.net. Thank you very much and God bless you. Good to be here with y'all tonight. Why don't we have a word of prayer and then we're going to turn over to Daniel for a few minutes and we're going to talk about how Daniel and his friends dealt with the things that life sent their way. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. We just lift up every man in here and their families, their loved ones. And Lord, we just ask that you would just help them, whatever they're dealing with, whatever they're struggling with, whatever's going on in their life. Lord, I just pray that you would help them to know they can overcome it through Christ. And I hope and pray that each and every one of them would come to know you if they don't know you. And for those that do you know you, Lord, that they would understand the resources that are available, that all the wisdom and power and treasures of God are available in the Son and everything we need for life and godliness, it says in 2 Peter chapter 1, and it talks about that we may escape the lust of the world. Those things are available. So God has given us everything we need for life and godliness. So Lord, I pray tonight that you would help each and every one here tonight, myself included, that you would help us, that you would just help us to realize that you are God, that you're still on the throne, and that you are in control, Lord. If we would just look to you and seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, then all the other things would be added unto us, and Lord, life would go a whole lot easier. So Lord, I just ask that you would just be with me as I speak, and that you would just help me to communicate well to these guys, and just pray that you would just work in their lives and work in my life, Lord, through this time tonight, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, well, we want to talk about a little bit about Daniel tonight, and we have been talking about every time I come in here, I just talk about temptation, because you know what, that's a problem that we all have a problem with, right? Everywhere you go, every day, all day, everywhere you go, there's going to be something in your way, there's going to be a problem, there's going to be aggravation, there's going to be some struggle, something, you know, that you're aggravated with. Something that's going to get in your nerves or get in your way or whatever it is. And so life's always throwing those things at us, right? Well, see, you know, the devil, you know, it says that there is no, James chapter 1 says there's no temptation such as common to man. That's not James 1, but with the temptation, God will give you the way out. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. But see, what happens is many times instead of we letting those things draw us close to God, we let those things bring us away from God. Instead of getting better, we get bitter. We turn to other things besides God. We turn to drugs or alcohol or just all kinds of different behaviors that are not good for us. And when I say that, I say all of us. And that was my life before Christ. Every single one of us, we've got an area, temptation, whatever it might be. It might be bitterness, it might be anger, it might be lust, it might be drugs, it might be alcohol, it might be sadness, gladness, spending too much money, can't control your life, whatever it is. I don't know what it might be in your life. You know, but a lot of us, we each have an area, and that's what James talks about, that each one is tempted by his own desires. Each one is tempted by his own desires. That problem area you got, that I got, that we all got, whatever that area might be, that when that desire has conceived, it gives forth to lust, and then that lust brings forth sin, and then sin brings forth what? Death, right? But he says, be not deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father above. See, God's got the good stuff, guys. The devil's got all the stuff that imitates what God has. You know, you can do drugs all night. You can do whatever all night. You can get all the money you want. And then what do you want? More. And you're never satisfied. And that's why Jesus said he was the bread of life. He was the living water. Whoever drinks of him, whoever eats of him, will never hunger or thirst again. And we all have an empty spot inside of us if we don't know Christ. And we try to fill that empty spot with all those things that I've mentioned. And then probably a lot I hadn't even mentioned, right? And I know life is full of struggles, and I have no idea what you've been through, where you've been. But you know why? I just can teach the Bible, because the Bible deals with each and every one of us right where we're at. Because every single one of us has got an area. And God can speak to you about your area, and he can speak to him about his, and he can speak to me about mine, and he can speak to each and every one of us through the Word of God. And that's why it's powerful, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword, and it divides to the soul and the spirit and the joint and the marrow, and it discerns the thoughts and intentions of heart. It will cut you to pieces, but once it cuts you to pieces, it will put you back together again. See, if you don't know you hurt, how can you be healed? If you don't know you have a problem, how can you fix it, right? What's the old song? Anybody maybe knows that one? If I never had a problem, I never knew that God could solve them. Through it all. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. And he talks about that, right? You know, that's what we've got to realize, that God can help us whatever we're going through. He's not going to solve all our problems. He's not going to get us out of all those problems. But he says with the temptation, he'll give you the way out, right? In other words, you can pass the temptation. God says, Isaiah 43, he said, I'll be with you when you pass through the waters. I'll be when you pass through the rivers. The water won't overflow you, and the rivers won't, and the fire won't burn you or scorch you. But see, he said, I'll be with you when you pass through those things. He didn't say, I'm going to get you out, necessarily. And so many times, James talks about that. He says, you know, pray for wisdom when you fall into various trials. Pray for wisdom. You know, he says, he doesn't say pray to get out of the trial, but he says, when you fall into trials, pray for wisdom. And God will give to each one of us liberally and without reproach. In other words, God doesn't say, hey, Marty, you done been to me about 20 times now. I'm sick and tired of you bothering me. Quit bothering me. He says, keep coming. And you keep coming. And I keep coming. And he keeps listening. And he keeps hearing what we've got to say. Well, let's talk about a couple of guys. I'm sure a lot of y'all know about Daniel and his friends that were carried off to Babylon. Maybe you don't. But in the Old Testament, Israel, the Jews, they were what? Taken into captivity. And, you know, here's the deal. In the Old Testament, every time the Jews were taken into captivity, the Israelites were taken into captivity, it was because of what? Because of sin, right? What happens today? A lot of people get locked up, right? Prisons, jails, and addictions, problems, struggles. Why? Because of that sin. And we let it drive us to, what's the old thing they used to say, it drive you to drink, right? And so all of these things come in our lives, but we have to understand that God doesn't want those things to push us away from him, but he wants those things to draw us closer to him. But we've got a choice. Are we going to let that destroy us, or are we going to let it bring us closer to God? Because he's got the good stuff. And so he's talking to believers, and none of this really works, guys, unless you're a believer. Unless you believe that Jesus is God, that he died on the cross for your sins, he was buried, he rose again the third day. And I'm not saying you just believe it up here. I'm saying you got it here, you know, right here in your heart. It's somewhere along the line you have come to the place where you bowed the knee to Jesus, you bowed your heart to Jesus, and maybe it was just like I did somewhere one day in the church, and I knew how messed up I was, and I said, oh God, I'm a sinner. Oh God, I need your help. I am messed up. That's what I need you. And you know what? God heard the cry of my heart, and he forgave me and saved me that day. And that's all it takes, guys, is if you believe those things and you receive him as your Savior, he's going to be with you wherever you go, whatever you do. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So Daniel... And there were three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I was trying to remember names. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Everybody knows the three Hebrew boys that were taken. And think, they were pretty young. I don't know exactly how old they were. Probably 13 to 17 years old, somewhere in that vicinity. And we'll read a little bit about them in chapter 1 of Daniel. We'll see... It says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. He was attacking it, right? And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah into his hand with some of the articles of the house of the God. The king instructed Aspenaz, the master of his eunuchs, verse 3, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, whom he might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And so he appointed them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And so he gave them the names to Daniel, Belteshazzar, Hananiah, Shadrach, Mishael, Meshach, and Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Let's stop right there. So here's these young Hebrew boys, young guys. They've been taken captive. They're somewhere, guess what? You think anybody's going to know what they did if they decide to do whatever they want to do? Because they've been taken captive, right? I mean, they're in another country. They've been taken captive. They can do whatever they want to. But here they are in the midst of this captivity, and what do? They have been brought in to be trained because they're decent-looking guys. They're smart. They've all these things, and here they are. They've got this temptation because the king wants to do what? He wants to give them his wine. He wants to give them his meat. He wants to give them all the stuff that's been sacrificed to idols. And if you know anything about Israel and the Jews, they were forbidden to do what? They were forbidden, yeah, to sin. But how could they sin? They had to be totally different than everybody else, right? Well, today as Christians, we're called to be different. We don't have to eat the different foods like the Jews did. We don't have to dress differently other than we need to dress respectively and clothe ourselves. And we don't have to eat like the Jews did other than the fact that we don't need to eat things that are, we try not to eat the things that are really bad for us, and we need to not live like the world. And the God calls us to be different. But he called the Jews to be different because the way he did that was the way they dressed, the way they ate, and all these laws he gave them. He gave them like 600 and something laws. And that was to keep them separate from all these nations who did not worship God. So he gave them all these laws. So here's Daniel, Meshach, and all these guys, and what do? They're alone in this country. And the king says, I'm going to train them in my way. I'm going to basically do what? I'm going to indoctrinate them, right? I'm going to make them into what I want them to be. I'm going to make these boys what I want them to be. They're going to be mine. And I'm going to train them. You know, they've talked about that. And I think it was Hitler talked about that. If you give me a child when he's about 3 or 4 years old, he'll never go back to where I want him, where other people want him, because I'll train him to be what I want him to be. That's why as dads, we have to, if we have a chance to get those kids when they're younger and train them in the right way, to get them to go the right way, because once they reach a certain age, a lot of times they don't want to come back. Here these guys are, and the king's going to just make them into his guys. He's going to make them into, look, there's the king, and look at them guys. They look just like him. They act just like him, right? That's what he's trying to do. And so he assigns them the king's delicacies and the wine and all the stuff that he sacrifices to idols and all these things. And Daniel says, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I don't care what anybody else does, but I'm not going to do that. And you know, that's the first thing he does right. He decides, no matter what everybody else is doing, I'm not going to do that. Because he was a true believer in God, right? And that's the tough part, guys. That's one of the toughest things we have to do, especially as men. Because you know what? People will like, oh, you ain't going to have a drink with us. You ain't going to do this. You ain't going to do that. What kind of man are you? And they start giving you a hard time, right? But you know what? I don't care what other people really think about me as long as I'm pleasing God. And that's what Daniel said. I don't care. If people can say what they want to say about you, they can say all the things, but, you know, we ultimately have to answer to God. We don't have to answer to those other people. But it's amazing to me how we can be so worried about what other people think about us, but then we forget about the one that really matters, what he thinks about us, right? And so God is there, respite of it. And, you know, Daniel says, God still sees me. God still knows, even if all these other people that I've been taking out of my country don't know. And so he says, I purposed in my heart. He made up his mind that he was going to do the right thing, even if nobody else did, right? Now, that's hard to do. You like a fish swimming upstream, right? I watched one of them salmon the other day. They were swimming upstream. They were swimming against the tide. And that's what you got to do if you're going to be a believer, if you're going to be a Christian, if you're going to do what's right in this world and not fall prey to all the stuff that the devil has. You got to be swimming against the tide. You got to swim against everything the world says, because if you watch that TV, you watch all the billboards, all the stuff they throw at us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. What are they trying to do? They're trying to make us like them, right? They're trying to teach us that all this behavior is right, that two guys can get married, and all these things, and all these things they're trying to teach us, that all of these things are right, and they're not. You ever noticed all the rights that people have, the Bible says, are wrong? They said, this is my right, I can kill my baby. And the Bible says, that's wrong, that's murder. Hey, that's my right. You know, and all these things we call rights, the Bible calls wrong. And you know what? Every single one of us one day are going to stand before God, and we're going to answer for what we did. Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. So Daniel purposed in his heart that he was going to do what was right. Now listen what happens because he purposes in his heart to do what's right. Listen what verse 9 says of chapter 1. Now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. Did you know that God will give you favor with people? I've seen people say, you know, I don't want to work on Sunday anymore. I want to go to church. Would you pray with me that God had opened up the door for me to go to church? And you know what? The boss says, hey, you know, you don't have to work on Sundays anymore. You can, you know, you work a regular weekday job or whatever. And so God will give you favor when you purpose to do what's right. It doesn't always happen. But he brought him into the favor and the goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. Now, this is the head guy. You know what a eunuch is? That's a guy that's been castrated and fixed up so he won't mess with the king's women, right? So he says, and the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, he says, I fear my lord the king who has appointed your food and drink, for why should he see your faces look worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king. So what's he afraid of? He says, if I do this and y'all don't look right and the king sees it, I can die. This wouldn't, you know, it ain't like today, you know, they play around and, you know, I do jail prison ministry and people come and go all the time, man. You know, back in that day, you mess up and you did something wrong, they whack you. You know, you come in 10 minutes later, you dead. Hey, that guy stole from me. Cut his hand off. You know, that guy did this. Kill him. Take him out. Chop his head off. They did it. And they didn't wait 6 months, a year, 10 years, 30 years, and then finally they exhaust all the appeals and the guy finally gets executed for killing somebody 30 years ago. They don't do that. And so he says, you would endanger my head. He's going to take my head off. So Daniel said to the steward whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days. So Daniel doesn't get out there. What's the next thing he kind of does? He doesn't get over there like, oh, you stupid fool. Why don't you let me eat my food? Why don't you let me do this? Why don't you let me do this? What's wrong with you, you ignorant? You know, I got to eat my stuff. I don't care what you say. I'm going to eat my stuff. He doesn't demand his rights. He said, guess what? Would you please test us for 10 days? He was nice. He was considerate. He asked, would you please test us, right, for 10 days? And give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. And then let our appearance be examined before you and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies as you see fit. So deal with your servants. So he consented with them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. So he says, give me a 10-day test. If I don't look better than these other guys you've been feeding the king stuff to, I'll eat what you got. All right? Please test me. So he said, okay. Now, what would have happened if he'd have just jumped all over him and said, you stupid fool, you know, I'm going to eat what I want to eat? Probably been dead, right? Locked up in the dungeon, and was the real prisons back then. Of course, we'll read later on what some of the other things happened if we can get to that. But he says, Daniel, at the end of 10 days, verse 15, Their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Thus the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. And as for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. So because they honored God, what happened? God blessed them, right? God blessed them. He gave them skill and wisdom and understanding. And even Daniel, you know, back then they didn't have the Bible like we do today. So God gave him understanding and visions and dreams. Because that's kind of the way God spoke back then. And he says, now at the end of the days, verse 18, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them. And among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they served before the king. Nobody else was found like them because they honored God, they served God, and they did the things they were supposed to do. And he says, in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than everybody else. All the magicians and astrologers who were in his realm. Then thus Daniel continued into the first year of King Cyrus. So all these things go on, you know, and if you know anything about it, what happens is Daniel becomes what? Like the head advisor to the king. He has some dreams in chapter 2 and all these things happen and he becomes the right-hand man to the king, right? How does he do that? Because God has blessed him and God has brought him to that place, right? He brought him there for such a time as this, you know, as like with, y'all remember the story of Esther? And she could have been killed for approaching the king. But what does she do? She said, pray and fast for me, and then I'll approach the king. And she did. And you know, God can use any of us, guys. If we will just put ourselves in a place where God can use us, we have to be his child first, and then we have to be obedient to him, right? I don't know about you. I don't know how many of y'all are believers in here and how many of you are not. But I can tell you one thing. I have way more fun than I used to have. I have more joy and more peace and more abundant life. And you know why I have it? Because I'm not constantly causing myself all the problems I used to have because of all the stupid things I used to do, right? And always getting in trouble. Now I still get in trouble. I guess everybody always asks me, one of the first things, I guess I must have a little bit of that troublemaker still about me, I guess. You know, I always try to do what's right, but I can tend to get in trouble if I want to stand up for what's right or something, and I'm going to say my piece regardless, you know. People say, are you staying out of trouble? I say, well, I don't know. We have got to do what's right, guys, no matter what anybody else does. We've got to do what's right. When we get to chapter 3, what we see next is we see Daniel's friends. And when we get there, we're going to see about there's like 3 different incidents in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 3, what happens is even after Daniel's told him all these dreams, Nebuchadnezzar, and he's told him all these dreams,
the king decides to set up this image of gold, and the people, they say, you know, we want, everybody needs to bow down and worship this thing, and if they don't, they'll be killed, right? And so they set this thing up, and they blow the psaltery and all these things. I forget what it is. He gets all the people, and I think it was a trap for Daniel's friends. And apparently Daniel wasn't around at the time, right? Because we don't see anything about Daniel, but he says that the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, and the lyre, in symphony with all kinds of music, all the people, nations, and languages fell down and worshiped the gold image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And then in verse 8 it says, therefore at that time certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews, and they spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O live forever, O king, live forever. And he talks about all this thing, and they said, they come in, they said, look, these guys aren't doing what you told them to do. They're not bowing down, they're not worshiping you. And what does King Nebuchadnezzar do in verse 13? I'm not going to read all these things because a lot of this is repeat. But he says, these guys are not worshiping you. Verse 13, Nebuchadnezzar in rage and fury gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? And then he goes on and says, if you bow down at the sound of all these instruments again, and he says, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? And what does Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do? Here's another principle, guys. If you're not ready when the tough times come, you're liable to fall. I'm liable to fall. You know, Daniel purposed his heart and he made up his mind. And these guys have made up their mind when the thing happens, what are they going to do? They're going to do right no matter what it costs them. No matter what it costs them. And guess what? Their lives are on the line, guys. Their lives are on the line here. Just like Daniel's and them's was in the first when they got there. And they answered and said to the king, verse 16, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. In other words, king, we don't need to think about this. We've already made up our mind. We know what we're going to do. He says, verse 17, if that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. So they flat out told the king, you don't tell the king no. You don't tell the king no. You remember when Esther, when I was talking about Esther, you didn't even go into the presence of the king without him inviting you. You didn't look sad in the presence of the king. Later on, you know, one of the guys goes in the presence of the king, and he said, I'd never looked sad in the presence of the king, and I was scared. And I prayed. And God, you know, and God gave me favor with the king, right? And so here he is, and they say, we're not going to bow down and worship you or your gods, king. We don't need to think about it. We've already know what we're going to do. Have you made up your mind when that whatever it is that you got a problem with happens, comes in your way, that woman, that whatever it is that, you know, that you struggle with, have you already made up your mind in the power of Christ that you're going to say no? If you haven't, you're in trouble. I'm in trouble. There was a guy I knew, I think some of y'all might have heard me. He was in the transition center. He was a couple months from getting out or a few weeks from getting out. He'd walk by the liquor store and he walked by it. You know, walked by it every day. Finally started stopping and looking at it. Finally one day he walked in and went back to prison. Because he got drunk, you know. And they busted him for parole and probation violation, and they had to finish all his time, right? Just got to remember, whatever it is you got a problem with, that's a can of jail or a can of prison or a can of whatever it is that's going to cause you a problem or me a problem, right? We got to remember that. We got to look all the way to the end. They show you all these things on TV and they don't show all the things that happen afterwards, right? Say, oh yeah, look at them beautiful people getting high, getting drunk, getting everything. Ain't they beautiful? And I'll show them next day. And I'll show them sitting in the jail cell. And I'll show them dead in the morgue or hugging the toilet or whatever it is. They don't show that, do they? Or they don't show that person they killed because they was drunk driving sitting in the morgue and them locked up and going, and all them family members screaming and crying because their family died. I had an uncle and his 13-year-old son died that way. Got hit head on by a boy. And then they felt sorry for him because my uncle's wife, she inherited, you know, he was an insurance agent. He had a lot of insurance, and she came in nicely dressed to court every day. And they said, the well coiffured so-and-so. And so the people on the jury felt sad for this guy and kind of envied her because she was well-dressed and basically let the boy off. That's what somebody wrote in the editorials and news. I was like, really? Well, he had a little baby and a wife and a little baby. This woman had a wife and had a husband and had a son. The other boy that's close to my age, as far as I know, he's still a drunk today because of all that happened in his life. But they didn't think about any of that when they did that. Yeah. So Nebuchadnezzar, verse 19, was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and other garments, and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent, the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The men that threw them in there got killed. That's how hot the fire was, right? And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, he must have been like on a platform way above it where they threw him, and he could look and he could see, and he said, did not we throw 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? And they said to the king, true, O king. You all know where that serves. True, O king. But he says, look, I see 4 men walking loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the former, the fourth is like the Son of God. Remember what I said in Isaiah 43? I'll be with you when you pass through the fire. I'll be with you when you pass through the waters. Who was in the fire with them? That's right. Now, that doesn't happen all the time, you know. There's people get killed all the time over Jesus, right, and over God. But, hey, this time he was in the furnace with them. And they didn't die. And so King Nebuchadnezzar, verse 26, he goes near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and he spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God. Who? The servants of the Most High God. Come out, come here. And then they came out the fire. Can you believe that? They came out the fire. And they just walked out the fire, or however they floated out, or whatever they did. And all these people, the satraps, administrators, the governors, and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of the head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of the fire was not on them. The fire will not burn you, nor will it scorch you. For I, the Lord, am with you. And then Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And that word angel is capitalized, and I really believe that was Jesus Christ in the fire with him, is what I believe. I might be wrong, but he says, and he delivered his servants who trusted in him, and they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own. Therefore, I make a decree, I make a command, a law, that any people, nation, or language which speaks amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. Then King The king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. You know, like I said, it doesn't always happen like this. But really, these physical deliverances are a picture of spiritual deliverances. That when we get to the place where we're going to, where we're tempted to do something wrong, God's going to be with us in the fire. God's going to be with us. And he says there is no temptation such as common to man, but with the temptation, God will give you the way out, right? God is faithful. God will give you the way out. But see, we've got to be faithful too. We got to believe. We got to trust. We got to trust him no matter what, right? And if we don't trust, if we don't believe, what's going to happen? We're going to fail. We're going to fall. But we got to trust him because he has got the power, right? Paul said, I can do what? All things who strengthen me. He wasn't talking about, you know, we pray, you know, everybody's got on their ball team, you know, Philippians 4:13. Hey, my football team's going to beat your football team. And then you got two Christian football teams and they both got Philippians 4:13 written down, right? Well, who's going to win? You know, that's not what that verse is about. Paul says, I can be hungry. I can be full. I can be naked. I can be cold. I can go through the worst of circumstances in my life. Or I can be in the best of circumstances. And sometimes the best circumstance, that's when we fall. Things get too easy. And then all of a sudden we fell on our face. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Whether it's really hard, whether it's really easy, no matter whether I got it good or whether I got it bad, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? Let's look at one more. Let's look about Daniel chapter 6. And then we'll finish up tonight. But Daniel chapter 6, King Darius is there now. And he set 120 satraps. They were like leaders, governors, or whatever. They were over everybody. And over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them so the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So here these guys are that were born there, right? And they see this Hebrew boy that's going to be set over all of them. Now, I don't know how old he is by this time. Maybe he's 25, 30 years old. I don't know. But he still was a pretty young guy, you know. He was an old man by the time all this book's over. And the last king looks to him. But he says he's thinking about setting him over everybody. Verse 4, the governors, the satraps sought to find something charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful. Nor was there any error or fault found in him. And then the men said, we shall not find any charge against Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So they thronged before the king and they said, King Darius, live forever. Here's another one of those worship things. We've consulted together to establish a royal statute, make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except for you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the laws of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. So King Darius signed the written decrees. So he signs this into law. Can't be changed once it's done. And so he signs this in the law. He's gotten fooled by these guys, right? And then it says, verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he didn't care. Now he wasn't being deliberate. Like you know, the first time when he went to the guy and he says, oh, if it pleases, he just did what he did every day, right? He went and prayed. And he's not trying to show out or anything. He did this every single day. And he says, and in his upper room with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. He did this every day. They knew it. And they laid a trap. Then the men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication to his God. They went before the king and spoke concerning the decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? And the king answered and said, the thing is true according to the laws of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. So they answered and said before the king, then that Daniel, which is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king. But he makes his petitions three times a day. And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself. And he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed. Even the king couldn't change his law once he signed it into law. He couldn't change it. So the king gave command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. And then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of the lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. They put a big old stone over so nobody can get in, nobody can get out, right? And they throw him in the den of lions. But what does the king say? Your God will deliver you. And then it says, now the king went to his palace, verse 18, and he spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also his sleep went from him. And then the king arose very early in the morning, went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Notice Daniel's response. He didn't say, you stupid jerk, why'd you throw me in here? You know I was serving you and I wasn't doing anything wrong. What does he say? Then Daniel said to the king, oh, king, live forever, right? He's still showing respect. You know, so many times if we would just talk to people in a way that, you know, whether they deserve it or not, we need to respect people, right? Because people are put in authority. You know that the Bible says that God has put everybody in authority? The laws, the people, whether we like the people. And yes, there are some unjust laws, and if it goes against God's law, we don't have to obey those. But then we can be in the same position. We can get locked up and we can be whatever, right? But if it's the law and it doesn't go against God's word and our conscience, we need to obey it, right? But we need to respect the people that God has put in place. We need to respect authority. We need to respect those people, the offices, whether we like the people in those offices or not. Right? That's hard sometimes. Yeah, that's real hard sometimes. Because there's some people in some places that we don't always like, right? But he says, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth so they have not hurt me because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him because he believed in his God. So he didn't even have any injuries on him at all, right? And the king gave the command and brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, the children, and their wives, and the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. People said, well, them lions weren't hungry. Apparently they were. They just got Daniel out, and they already got the other guys in there, right? And they didn't get hungry that quick. They wasn't hungry coming. Say, oh, he don't taste good. I don't like that Hebrew Jew boy meat. I want some Babylon guys. You know, it wasn't any of that stuff. They were hungry, and it says, not only who died, their whole family, right? And the lions overpowered and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. They never even hit the ground. But the lion's mouth was shut by God. And then King Darius wrote, verse 25, to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble in fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Not one king, but two kings, right? So think about this. You know, like I say, God doesn't always deliver us, right? We remember some of those stories about these kids, and they wouldn't renounce God, and they got shot and killed. People get killed all over the world every day because they will not renounce Jesus. And it happens. But these are here to say that sometimes God does deliver when we do that. But remember, like I said, these physical, the Old Testament, a lot of the Old Testament physical things that we see in there are pictures or spiritual things in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, he says, you know, the sign of Abraham, a lot of them guys, you know, the blessings of God was they were rich in houses and lands and all kinds of stuff. But in the New Testament, he says, I blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, right? That's the blessings we get in the New Testament. Not that we might not get some of that. But mainly what happens is God blesses us because we follow him. And like I said, those blessings might not, they're mostly not money or health or wealth or prosperity, none of those things, guys. What I'm talking about is just simple things. Sometimes, you know, you might get that job you want, or you might get reconciled with your family, or whatever it is, you know. I don't know what it might be in your life, but God can do anything, right? He doesn't always do it, but you know what? He can. And let me tell you, even if he doesn't do it, and most of the time he doesn't deliver us out of those problems, fix those problems, or anything else, but what we do is we pray for that wisdom as we go through these trials and as we go through troubles, we get a better vision of God. Remember last time I was here, I don't know if y'all remember, we talked about Job, right? And what did Job say? He said at the end of the book, he said, I've heard of you with my ears, the hearing of my ears. But after all this stuff Job had been through, he said, now I see you. I know who you really are. God didn't deliver him out of all that pain and all that suffering, out of them mean friends that said, what'd you do wrong, Job? There must be a reason you're here. There's a reason you're sick. What did you do to God? What did you do wrong? Job said, I didn't do anything. But God wanted to bring him closer to him. And sometimes, you know, there's a song, I can't remember who sings it, Laura somebody. She says, what if our heartaches were blessings in disguise? What if our tears were like blessings from God? If we could be as close to God all the time as we are when the tough times come, we'd be in good shape for those of us that believe and do that. But some of us maybe have been pushed away from God because of the trouble. I've seen both sides of it. I've seen people go crazy when life happens. I've done it. I'm sure you have too. Maybe you're still doing it some. But I can tell you one thing, guys. If you will put your trust in Christ as your Lord and Savior, believe that Jesus is God and he died in your place and he died for your sins and he was buried and he rose again the third day, and with your whole being you would cry out to God and ask him to forgive you and save you, because the Bible says you're a sinner, that you've done wrong things, that everybody's sinned and come short of the glory of God. It means, you know, even if you think wrong things sometimes, you know, like, oh, look at that stupid jerk. Yep, you just sinned, right? Oh, I needed to help that guy, but oh, I didn't help him. You just sinned. Those are sins. And so every one of us has sinned at least once. Let's just imagine if you sin three times a day for 70 years. That's 365 times three. I don't even know what it is. It'd be about 80,000 times in your lifetime, right? And then you stood before the judge and said, Judge, I won't do it again. Please forgive me. What's the judge going to say? I don't think so, Tim. That's, you know, what we do to a holy God, and even one sin is offensive to him. And that's why we need to be saved. That's why we need to be forgiven. And I'm telling you guys, you can continue to live for yourself. You can continue to live for the world. You can continue to live for the pleasure to this world, or you can turn your life over to Jesus. And I can tell you what, Living for Jesus is way better than any of this stuff in the world, because I've been on both sides of the fence, guys. I might not have seen the things you've been in and might not experience the heartaches and the problems y'all have, but remember what I said in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation such as common to man. That means there's nothing new under the sun. Somebody in the past, somewhere, somehow, sometime has experienced what you have experienced. And that old devil's over there going, but they don't know what you know. They ain't been where you've been. They ain't experienced what you experienced. Well, that guy don't know nothing about what you're talking about. And I don't understand where y'all been, because I've never served. But I do understand sin, because I've been in it full tilt bozo. And I do understand it will destroy your life and was destroying mine. And if we don't trust Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that old devil, he's going to take you to hell. Or else, even if you're a Christian, he can continue to let you destroy yourself because you're not trusting in God. But I find it hard to believe you can live for very long without in sin if you're a believer. Because the Bible says those that know Christ, they purify themselves. And yeah, you can live for a period of time, but you won't be happy. You won't be satisfied. And you'll be miserable. But I can tell you what, life ain't going to be perfect. And you're going to have problems just like I have. You're going to have problems maybe worse than I've ever thought about having. But God can be with you through every single one of them if you'll let Him be your Lord and Savior. If you will ask Him to forgive you, ask Him to save you. Would you do that tonight? And if you're a Christian, maybe tonight just ask Him to help you every day to be like Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The purpose in your heart to do what's right every day. And when the tough times come, you ask God to help you. I ask God to help us get us through the tough times, the hard times, and He'll be with us through it. He might not get us out of it, but He'll be with us through it. And if we'll ask for that wisdom, ask for wisdom, and He'll give if you ask in faith, right? So guys, that's the choice we have. We can choose the way to live, but we cannot choose the consequences. We can choose what we want to do, but we cannot choose the consequences or what happens after that, right? It's not like a computer. There's not an undo button. There's not a delete button. Those things are not there. And unfortunately, once we've done something, we can't undo it or delete it. But God can forgive. And He says, I will remove your sins as far as the east to the west. I will throw your sins behind my back. I will remember them no more, and I will throw them in the depths of the sea, and I will trample them under my feet. That's what God says. And I don't care what you've done. God says He'll forgive you if you'll ask Him and trust Him. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, Paul was a killer. Moses was a killer. Abraham got drunk. Moses got drunk. Abraham lied. We've all done stuff, right? But God can forgive any of us. God can save any of us. There's nothing too bad that we can't be saved. And there's none of us too good that we don't need to be saved. So let's pray. Father, we ask You tonight. There's even one here tonight, Lord, that doesn't know You. Struggling with stuff, maybe they'd want to come up and talk and pray afterwards, or Lord, if they don't understand, they would come and ask me or ask Dale back here to pray with them and talk with them. If they don't understand, explain more about what it means to trust Christ. Lord, I pray that they would just know that joy and that peace and abundant life that comes in spite of the troubles, in spite of the problems, in spite of difficulties in life. Because You are God and You love us, and we can know it's all going to be okay. And You said the sufferings of this world are not worthy to be compared with the glory which we'll have in heaven. And Paul said this is a momentary light affliction. He'd been shipwrecked, beat, whooped, and everything else. He said it was momentary and it was light, and it wasn't nothing compared to what he was going to have in heaven. So Lord, help us know that one day it's going to be worth it all when we see Jesus. And I pray for somebody that would trust You today and cry out and say, oh God, I'm a sinner. Save me. And if they would ask, and you said you would say, because you said if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is God, that he's Lord, that you would forgive us and save us. For with the mouth we confess unto righteousness, and with the heart we believe unto salvation. Do that for somebody today, Lord, because you said whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, not might be, not hope so. Do that today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys, God bless y'all. Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Please help us reach out to those the world has forgotten. Everyone we minister to is locked up in some way, shape, or form. Those in the nursing home facilities are locked up in bodies that do not work, in a wheelchair, and a bed. We minister to children and youth who are locked up because of behavioral problems. Some have told us we want to have a real family because their parents have lost or given up custody of them. Other kids are locked up because they've committed crimes. We also minister to those locked up at the jails and the prisons, to those locked up in addictions, to drugs, alcohol, depression, and suicidal thoughts, to those locked up in a variety of other things that keep them from becoming who Jesus wants them to be. He came to give us abundant life, joy, and set us free, and these people that we minister to are not free. Our desire is to show them, whatever their background, no matter what they've done, to see how much God loves them. We seek to help them receive forgiveness and freedom from their sin in Jesus Christ. We minister in the local area of Savannah, Georgia, and surrounding Effingham and Chatham area. We have recently expanded our ministry to the Lexington, Columbia, South Carolina area. We do over 2,000 services every year. We hope and pray that you will support us in some way that so we can continue our mission. Go to hisloveministries.net and click on the Donate Now button, or send it via regular mail to Post Office Box 1881, Lexington, South Carolina 29071. We hope and pray that you will do that. Thank you and God bless you. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. John 8:32.